This is one little piece of the puzzle this afternoon in this workshop. And the workshop is, our choices affect praise from our lips and joy in our heart. Have you ever considered how many choices that you make in a day? I mean, just like since Mamie said this morning, you know, just the thought of putting one foot on the floor and the other foot does not want to follow. Just getting out, decision whether to come to the seminar this weekend, decision at noon where to eat. I mean, decisions, just all, you know, driving over here, whether to change lanes or stay behind this pokey person. You know, the choices, the options, the alternatives, the preferences. There's just a myriad of choices that we have to make each day, and they do affect praise from our lips and joy in our hearts. Am I at the wrong place? God cares. He cares about the choices we make. He says in Isaiah, "See, I will not forget you. I have carved you in the palm of my hand." When our Steve, who is our oldest son, was a little boy, we, like Jared said, are members at Northwest Baptist Church, and our pastor, Newman McCleary, this particular week was down in his back. And we had been praying all week long that our pastor would be able to preach on Sunday. And so on Sunday morning, we got there, and our pastor had been walking with a cane all week and in great pain. And we got there, and we came in the back doors of our church, and at the opposite end of the hall, here came Brother McCleary through the doors and headed down the hallway with a brisk step. And our little Steve was just a little guy, and he was holding his daddy's hand, and he looked up to Jerry and said, "See? See? The faith of a little child. The trust. If we only had that faith and trust of a little child, when we snuggle up to Jesus and really believe him," he says, "See, I will not forget you. I have carved you in the palm of my hand." Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And they are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And in those days when you seek me, you shall find me if you look for me with all your heart." God is not cheap. And we live in a McDonald's society. And we want instant peace. We want to blaze up to the window of heaven and say, "God, I don't like this choice. I don't like what has come my way. I mean, it's lemons. It's sour. It hurts." And we want God to give us instant peace. But many times we have to seek, and we have to keep seeking and keep seeking. But our God is a God of peace. And he will give us peace. He is peace. I love Philippians, the 4th chapter. And 4-9. And Paul is talking, and he's saying, "Rejoice in the Lord again always. And again I say rejoice." Rejoice means do it again and again and again and again and again, over and over and over. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And let your moderation be made known to all men. Your gentle, quiet trust." Why can we do that? Because the Lord's at hand. He is near. And then he goes on, he says, "Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But when those times come, when there are things that cause us anxiety, fears, worries," he says, "pray about it. Humbly ask God. Pray in all things with supplication and thanksgiving." And I like in the Living, in one part, it says, "and don't forget to say thank you." You know, so many times we're not very thoughtful, are we? We go blazing into heaven with our prayer request, and then we kept racing off, and we've never said thank you. In all things, give thanks. So he's telling us, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the promise. It's a conditional promise. We have to do the things that he's told us. Rejoice and pray about it. Ask God about it and thank him. And then he says, the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. So see, we get the peace of God to keep our mind and our heart through Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate on them. Chew them. Think on these things that are true, these things that are honest, just. To me, that's God's word. And then he says, and these things that you have received and learned from me, these things that you have heard and seen, and I love this, do. In King James, just do. Paul's saying, do. And then, another promise, the God of peace will be with you. If you want to work out a recipe, I challenge you to go home and get your recipe card out and work through that passage in Philippians and work through the recipe, all of the ingredients, how to work it out, and then the promise. You know, I always love it when a friend gives me a recipe and at the bottom, this is delicious. Try it on all your friends, you know. And this, God says, is a promise. He will give us not only the peace of God to keep our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus, but we also get the God of peace. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. Our choices. Every day we bump in to different situations. We're confronted with choices to be made with our families, our children, our homes, needs, clothing, school, vocation, church, social, friendships, the whole gamut. Do you just ever consider all of those things? And we have choices to make in every one of those situations. And the choice that we make will either bring praise to our lips and joy in our heart, or it will just bring a myriad of emotions. We as Christians aren't promised that we won't suffer. We won't run into difficulties. When you are going along, you know, it's really not very hard to consider, you know, well, this morning we have grapefruit for breakfast, and I'm going to get in the shower. And I mean, I don't have to do a lot of thinking about that. Consider now, what are the alternatives here, and what is my preference here? And I'd rather go have biscuits and gravy instead of grapefruit. But, you know, all these choices, they make a difference. Though. But then what do we do when we hit those times where there are difficulties and things that are just more than we can bear? Like Barbara Johnson was talking about last night when she was in that motel room and she just felt that excruciating pain. I've been there. I've awakened in the middle of the night when my arms held limp, hung limp, and my knees buckled. I've had the times where I have crawled to my quiet time place, gripped with fear and hurt and anxiety. But if anything that I want you to get from this seminar is God cares. See, I will not forget you. I have carved you in the palm of my hand. However you can get to Jesus, get to Jesus. When these cares and difficulties, troubles, trials roll in over you, get to Jesus. He knows all about you and He cares. You know, it has been said that happiness and unhappiness cannot coexist. On the other hand, sorrow and joy can. Because Isaiah tells us that our Savior was acquainted with sorrow and grief. And on the other hand, we see in Hebrews 12 how that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame of it. That for the joy that was set before Him, we have got to get on beyond these things that just paralyze us and grip us with fear and get on to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are God's people. And He's called us out of darkness into His most wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us. That we might show His glory and that He might be glorified in and through our lives. We don't have to grapple in the dirt and the mire of what this world has to offer. This very day, one of our dear friends in Phoenix, Arizona, Dr. Gary Young, and some of you women may know him because for years he was pastor here at Meadowood Baptist Church. And today they're having Gary's memorial service in Phoenix, Arizona. 2 years ago, Gary was diagnosed with cancer and wasn't expected to live. And God spared Gary's life. And I believe this is why God spared Gary's life. He was here last summer, and we were visiting with him. And Gary was very open and honest with us. And here is a man who has his earned doctorate and pastor of a prospering church in Phoenix, Arizona. And Gary said that when he found out he was going to die, he was gripped with fear. Gripped with fear. He didn't even want any of his people to come see him. He shut people out. In January, Jerry and I were in Phoenix, Arizona, and we got to be with Gary and Doris. And Gary shared with us how God was giving him joy, how God had taken away that fear of dying. And we got his paper a couple of weeks ago. Gary preached his last sermon, August 22nd. You know how it starts? The joys of dying. And it's signed, Joy in Dying. Now, why and how did Gary get from fear and torment in dying to joy in dying? This is how. This is not by accident. This morning, this fell out of some notes I had. And I haven't even looked at this. It's dated January 24th in their notes I made on Gary's sermon. And I thought, this just sums it up for Gary. Perfect love drives out fear. What is perfect love? Who is perfect love? Holy God. And when we snuggle up in Jesus' arms and we nest and rest in His arms, His perfect love drives out that fear that we have. Whatever difficulty you find yourself in, either today or down the line, go to Jesus. Snuggle up into His arms. He knows all about you and He cares for you. See, I will not forget you. I have carved you in the palm of my hand. I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a purpose and a hope. Jerry and I have been married 35 years, and we had sung at our wedding this song, His Way, Mine. I've played this and played it and played it. I wish that I was brave enough to go play it now on the piano, but I'm not. maybe one of these days. But the words just became more and more meaningful. Little did I know the meaning that they would have 35 years later. They had great meaning to us when we had this song. And I just want to share this song with you. God has a place for every planned creation. He has a place for every star to go. He drew the course for every river's journey. Now I know He has a way for me. He counts the sand on every island seashore, and He turns the tide with hands above. The wind, He beckons into changing motion, and with His love, He gives each blossom birth. Now in His will, my soul finds worth living, each day new blessings from above. Though shadows come, and they will, and valleys seem unending, and they will seem unending, still I know that He makes a way for me. And we had it, the one little word, or the I, changed to we. We place our lives in the hands of God. Those hands so scarred, now outstretched for us. Wherever it may be, over land, over sea, may Thy will sublime, O Thou God divine, be mine. His way mine. God has a plan. Sometimes we may not understand the plan, like the song today. When we can't understand His way, trust His heart. We can always trust the heart of God. He has the bigger picture. He has the bigger perspective. He's got the whole of it, and we just have this much. And this certainly doesn't seem good sometimes. And sometimes we may think, this is unfair, God. This is not fair. But God sees the beginning from the end, and we can trust His heart. Last year, I found myself at the place of needing to have surgery. And I was really fighting it in my spirit. I didn't have a peace about it. Remember, God wants to give us peace of our heart and peace of mind. And He wants to be the God of peace in our life. So I had no peace about this surgery my doctor was telling me I needed to have. So I decided, Jerry and I prayed about it and talked about it, and we decided that we would get two other opinions. I've never done that before in my life, and so I don't like to go to doctors either. But anyway, I went to these other two doctors, and the second one was a really fine Christian man, and I really did like him, but everything he was saying to me just did not give me any peace. It just did not make sense. Everything in me was saying not wrong. So I went to the third doctor, and they ushered me into his office, and he was not in there, and so I sat there, you know, waiting for him and looking around the room. And I happened to notice on the wall, he had a picture, and the inscription on this picture said, "I treat, God heals." And I thought, oh, thank you, God. And so this man came in, and he was a very gentle and a very kind and loving man. And he talked to me at length about my situation. And I had not had any of the other doctors talk to me about what all I was going through and ask me questions, and he did. And I was ready right then to just say, whatever you say, go for it, you know. But I didn't, because I needed to go home and talk with Jerry about it. On the way home, I started going, but God, He could have just had that picture given to Him and it didn't mean a thing to Him. And there are lots of really nice people in this world. There are a lot of really kind people, and, you know, people that are really genuinely interested, and He could have just been one of those people. God, I want Your peace. I don't want just the peace of man. I want Your peace. In my quiet time the next morning, I was reading and asking God to show me what He wanted me to do. And I was reading in Isaiah, and the Lord spoke to my heart, "This is the way. Walk in it." So, told Jerry, and we went back to the doctor and got everything all set up, squared away. He had decided he was going to treat me with medication and thought that that might help my problems and maybe I would not need to have surgery. But that was to no avail, and all of a sudden, everything started progressing really speedily, and I had to go in immediately for surgery. But I had the peace of God and the God of peace. The Lord had given me peace of mind and peace in my heart. I'm in control. He's the blessed controller of all things. And so I went in that morning, and I couldn't believe myself because I'm really kind of apprehensive sometimes. And I just floated in. I hardly even touched the hospital floor. And they just got me all ready, and I just had the greatest sense of peace. And I just was rejoicing in the Lord and praising Him and thanking Him for the joy He had given me and the peace that He had given me. And when I went into surgery, I really didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I'd never been put under like that. I didn't know if I'd ever come out again or what. But it was all okay because I knew the Lord had said, this is the way, walk in it. When I came out of surgery, the doctor went down to the room where Jerry was waiting to tell him how I'd done in surgery. And he said, we were looking for a camera because Marilyn came out really smiling, and we don't ever have anyone smile in recovery. That was the peace of God and the joy of the Lord because I got in on what God was about in my life. It didn't seem good, but it was God's plan for me at that time. God wants us to get in on what He's about in our life because His plans are good. We didn't create ourselves. We don't know what's best for ourselves. God created it, and He knows what is the very best thing for our lives. Run to God's Word when you need peace. Go to the book. Go to the Word. And read till God frees you and gives you a peace. And then, no matter what comes, you can walk through it. In the situation you're dealing with, you can walk through it with courage. And I was reading about Ishbosheth, I think it's his name, one of Saul's sons. And in the NIV, it said, he lost courage because Abner had died. Why did he lose courage? Because his eye focus was on Abner. When we focus on Jesus and His will and His way in our life, that's what brings joy. And when we get in on what He's about and understand the plans He has for us, over and over and over, God will, I could just, in my journal, I could just give you promise after promise as I have struggled and dealt with different things where God has freed me up by giving me a word from Himself regarding the situation I was dealing with. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the ending of us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And He wants to finish what He started. One time I was facing some problem, and I just needed a word. And this is how God answered me in this particular time. In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. That was a promise to me. In His time, He was going to answer. And He was going to be my salvation. In His time. He said, I will keep you. And I will make you. And I will restore you. In His time. And then He said, He, meaning God, who has compassion on them, will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm a little sheep. I desperately need to be led. Every one of us need to remember that we are sheep. And we don't like to say this, but sheep are dumb. And they have to be led, or they get themselves into all kinds of problems. And then the Lord said, shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, for the Lord comforts his people. The Lord wants to be our comfort. He doesn't want to just give us comfort. He wants to be our comfort. He does not want to just give us joy. He wants to be our joy, and he is our joy because that's an attribute of Holy God, is joy. We've got to tap into it. And then he says, see, I will lift up my banner. His banner over me is love. And he says this, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. This was a word from God to give me comfort and encouragement to keep on keeping on. I'm just like every one of you. Sometimes I grow real weak in my knees. And it's like our little Sarah Bethy. She's 3 years old this week. And she said one day she was at our house and she was putting her little blanket down on the ground. And she was trying to smooth it out. And she was working, you know how twos are? I can do it myself. She was working real, real hard, just working and working and working and working. And Terry and I, her mom and I, were sitting there talking. And then all of a sudden, she jumped up and she said, I need help. So that's the story at our house these days. God has allowed us to go through some of the darkest days of our whole lives. And I stand here today in the midst of the storm, in the eye of the storm, in some of the very darkest days that we have ever known. I didn't know they could get any darker. The last struggle we went through, I thought, well, boy, we made it, and it couldn't get any darker, but it did. And I'm here to tell you that God has freed me from the fear and the struggle, and we're still in the heat of the battle. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. I keep in my Bible what Corrie Ten Boom penned, or what she had to say. This was in a Decision magazine, and maybe some of you all clip this out too. When we can't, God can. When we can't, God can. Do you remember what happened when she was confronted with this soldier that had been so cruel to she and Betsy? And he was in this place where she was sharing. He had become a Christian. He stuck out his hand to shake her hand. This giant of a woman almost stumbled. It was all she could do to open her hand. She just couldn't. All she could do was see all of the bitterness that he had brought in their line. And this is what she said. She cried out, Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. When we can't, God can. I need help. Do you need help? Cry out to God. Run to him. Snuggle up in his arms. Rest in him. Now, I want to give you something today that has been helpful to us in our pilgrimage in the Christian life. And it's called the Daily Commitment Reminder. And some of you may have already seen this. But why is it that I can run to God? Why is it I even want to try? Why is it I even want to get out of bed and run to my hiding place? The secret place where I meet Holy God. Where I want a word from him, for I want to hear him. This is why. And this is what brings praise to our lips and joy in our heart when we realize who God is. Because of all this, since God has plans for me today, and I make this my prayer, and I'll just walk down through it with you like I do in the morning when I meet God. God, I just really do praise you and thank you that you do know the plans that you have for me today. And they are plans for good and not for evil. And God, help me just to keep on keeping on seeking you. And God, thank you, thank you, thank you that you love me with an everlasting love. You know, Jeremiah 31:3 says, yea, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Put your name in there. Yes, I have loved you, Donna. Yes, I have loved you, Deanna. God loves us with an everlasting love. And God, thank you, thank you, thank you that your love is unconditional and eternal. And thank you, Holy God, that you are the blessed controller of all things. Not one thing touches my life but what you have given permission from God. Not one thing touches my life but what God gave permission. And because of my love for him and his grateful love for me, he has called me according to his purpose, and he makes me this promise. In all things. All things are going to work for your good and for my eternal glory. That's a promise. And my daddy's taught me to say it like this. And God is working in all things for my good and his eternal glory. My holy God is working in all things in my life. Everything. All means everything. The good, the hard, the bad, the mundane, everything. God is working for my good. And God, I thank you that you have given me this promise. And I thank you, God, that you foreordained that I should be molded in your image. That you love me too much to leave me like I am. And you have wanted me to become more like you every day. And I praise you and thank you, God. There's nothing on the face of this earth that can separate me from your wonderful, wonderful love. Not anything. And because of that eternal love, that wonderful love, God has made us the promise through him we can be more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, but we can be more than conquerors through him. We can be more than conquerors through difficulties and troubles and persecution, famine and nakedness, peril of my life, or the sword of my enemies. And then he's made us the promise that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Today, God, I praise you and thank you that there's not going to be anything that comes my way that will be too difficult or too hard for me. If I will look to you, I can do it through you. And thank you, Holy God, that you want me to be in on your plan to bear much fruit today, that you want to do it through me as I say yes to you and no to myself. So because all of this is true, since all of this is true, I can turn the page and pray this prayer. Lord, just today, I commit myself to keep my eye focused on you, looking to Jesus. My eyes are on you, who for the joy that's set before me. Do you know what? What do you suppose our friend Gary Young would say to us if he walked in the door? He's been to heaven, like Lazarus, and he's come back. Think about what you're struggling with right now. Gary would say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Look for the joy that's set before you. Go for it. Go for it. It's a race. Keep running. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says we have this great grandstand of witnesses who've gone on before us that are cheering us on in the race of life. Keep on going. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your eyes on the joy set before you. Just think, to me, this praise service they're having for Gary today, I wish we could be there. Gary said in his paper, he said, I told my wife Doris, please don't brag on me. He said, I told Doris there's to be no corpse, no visitation, no procession, no graveside. We're doing the visitation now while I can enjoy it too. And then when I die, I want you to help my family conclude my life with a memorial worship service. Please don't brag on me. We all tend to embellish the truth at such services. Brag on Jesus. If you want to mention me, you tell how I led you to Christ, or how I preached Christ, or how you saw Christ in me. It will then become a great worship service. Isn't that great? If Gary came in, he's already been sitting at Jesus' feet. I think some of the things Gary might say, like one would be, it's no big deal. Get your eyes off of the petty. It's no big deal. Get your eyes on Jesus for the joy that's set before you. Run the race to win. Don't become weak-kneed. Look at your Savior, who is your strength in weakness. Keep your eye focused on Jesus, looking to Jesus. Because all of this is true, I ask Jesus, Lord, I commit this day that you help me to know you more deeply and more intimately than I've ever known you before. And that's not just an intellectual knowledge. You know, we are just a church of overfed, overstuffed Christians. And one time, someone said about Daddy's church, they needed to be burped. Because my dad's a real Bible teacher. Get to know the Lord deeply and intimately and not just an intellectual knowledge. And then, Father, just today, I commit to yield to you the control of my life. I don't want to be in charge of my life. I've already seen how I run myself into the ditch over and over again. I want to stay on the path with you. I want to walk with you. I want to follow you wherever you say, however you say, because, God, I'm trusting your heart. You know, if we're not trusting, it's sin. Today, I want to yield the control of my life to the Holy Spirit. And so right now, in fact, I give you the control right now, Holy God. You take control. And I want to just abide in you. I want to take up residence. I want to live where you live. And you know, the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. He takes up residence where his people are praising people. And then, Holy God, I want to glorify you in all that I do. I want to bring praise and honor to you. And God, help me to keep my eyes on you through everything that you might be glorified. And then, Father, help me to guard against the things that cause me to trip, to stumble, that cause me to be so unfruitful, the cares and the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. Any one of these things choke God in our lives and choke praise from our lips and joy from our heart. God, help me to keep my eye focused on you, realizing you're everything to me, and you're going to supply all of my needs according to your riches in heaven through Christ Jesus. And then, Lord, help me to reflect on the fruit of the Spirit. Help me to be so filled up with you that I continually look at you and I become more and more like you as I keep my eye focused on you. And help me to delight in you. And to delight in your will and in your way. Even when I don't understand it, knowing that you've got the bigger picture. And this is just preschool down here. And you're getting me ready for heaven. And then, Father, help me to share with people as I go about you. Everywhere I go, sharing Jesus with all who will listen. Will you make this your commitment today? Will you commit to keep on keeping on, no matter how rough the road is? Don't give up. Keep running back to Jesus. If you have to do it 100 times an hour, keep running to Jesus until you can boldly walk through whatever you're walking through. Keep running to Jesus to find that courage and that rest, that strength. Vance Havner says, we cannot rest in God until we nest in God. We cannot rest in God until we nest in God. When you seek me, you shall find me if you look for me with all your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Keep seeking God. I read through a plan where I read through the Bible once a year. And then read through Proverbs once a month according to the day. Like today's the 24th, you read Proverbs 24. Something I picked up on down the line from Billy Graham was reading 5 Psalms a day, where you'd read through the Psalms every month. And that has been one of the greatest blessings. And Psalms, you cannot read Psalms because David lived where all of us live. And you cannot read the Psalms and not come out with praise on your lips and joy in your heart. So keep on keeping on. If there's not that praise, if there's not that joy, run to the praise. Run to the joy. You know where to find Him. And He's waiting for us to come to Him with arms open wide. Your love, if anything I could just leave with you, is don't quit. It's worth it to keep on keeping on with Jesus, because He sees and knows everything about us. He's got the bigger perspective, and He loves us with an everlasting love, and He will not forget us. His compassion, His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. Keep on with Jesus.